I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
From PRX's Radiotopia, welcome to the heart. I'm Caitlin Prest, and this is No, a mini-season. Episode 2, Inheritance. What you're about to hear could potentially be really triggering, but could also make you feel less alone. In the last episode, I let you in on some formative moments from my girlhood, and this episode is about who that girl grew up to become.
I fucked him like a champ.
Seriously?
The bed was in the middle of the room, and I had a urinary tract infection for like 2 weeks afterwards.
Shit, dude, that's intense.
Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Audio Smut.
I'm in my 20s. I left my tiny little town for the big city. I live in NYC now. I make an artsy feminist sex radio show. Third wave sex positive feminism tells me that I was onto something back in my teens, adopting the same ruthless sexual posturing that boys are encouraged to would allow me to wield some of their power. If we fucked without feelings, we too could be free. Having slut pride would subvert the double standard, and it would force the world to recognize that women's sexual pleasure is real. The only problem is that I hate casual sex. To make up for it, I masturbate with abandon and tell the world about it.
Low, medium, or high. The vibration penetrated my entire body. It felt like my feet.
I've become an expert at advocating for my own pleasure. I know what I want, and I feel entitled to it. I really want you to sleep over, but just FYI, I'm not secretly inviting you over to fuck. Is that cool?
Yeah, totally.
Are you sure?
Yeah, that's cool.
After all these years, I've mastered the art of saying no.
Want to lift?
That's okay.
Are you free to do this job that totally doesn't appeal to you?
I don't think it's the right one for me.
Hey, baby, can I get a smile?
Fuck off!
Stretch yourself out from downward dog into plane.
No.
Hey, are you able to come out on Friday to my barbecue?
Nope. I know now that what I'm looking for is love. Even though I know it's corny.
The Adventures of Batman with Robin Boy Wonder.
I'm on a big brown couch wrapped up in the arms of my friend, Jay.
You want another beer?
No. His arms are really dudely. I'm trying my best not to like this more than our friendship would deem appropriate.
I'm gonna have one.
Okay.
You want one?
No.
You want another beer?
No. Yes.
Yeah.
I do.
Okay.
Cool. You'll get it. But of course, I can't stop myself from wondering if this friendship is the friendship. The right under your nose that whole time kind of friendship.
Do you want a cigarette?
Yeah.
You do? Hi.
Hello.
It's me.
I've been friends with Jay for 8 years. It's like my oldest friendship.
Hey, are you okay?
How'd the date go?
Jay and I have always kept it in our pants, and that's given way to this perfect, friendly intimacy. We call each other babe and boo. We bitch about our relationship dramas. We have extensive G-chat conversations into the night and always sign off with the word love spelled in full.
What do I do if I hate my current relationship?
Whoa.
And that's good night. Good night. I love you.
I don't know.
But that being the case, I think there are, like, great, great hookups that are just hookups, you know, like a great one-night stand.
I don't think we agree on this, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about something else.
All right.
So,
I've always thought he was hot. He looks a little bit like my cousin Robert I had a forbidden crush on when I was a kid.
Hey, do you still have that boyfriend?
Nah.
Broke up with that guy.
It's the 4th of July. It's late. 11:30.
Hey, I got super sunburned today at the beach.
I get a text from him asking if I want to come over for a snuggle party.
Hey.
Hello. Hi.
Hey.
What's
come
up?
In.
Hi.
What's happening?
We put on some music and sit on the bed.
So this woman, she's so cool, and she... We kind of had this thing in common where we're both really feminine people, and we were talking about how, like, she's not really used to making the move, but that she sort of creates the conditions in which a move can be made.
No, that's bullshit.
Why?
Because it puts, like, some weird power into that, like, submissive role that I just don't think is really there.
Are you serious? That's dumb.
No.
Oh, really? You're gonna...
He's kissing me.
Are we gonna fall in love?
Whoa.
I feel like I'm kind of nervous.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cute.
He's starting to undo my pants. It's too quick.
Is it okay if we just make out?
Yeah.
He says yeah, but he keeps going. He's not reading me.
Hey, Jay. Is it okay if we... I don't want to do sex things.
Yeah, fine. Whatever.
Sorry, I have to pause the scene for a second and give you some information. So what you're hearing right now, if you hadn't already noticed, is a reenactment.
Okay.
Here we go.
Yeah, do it.
Hey.
This is an actor.
Hey.
His name is Tommy.
And then I'll be like, hey, like, can you slow down a little bit?
So it's just like just ignoring it,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
Like not even hearing it.
Yes.
Okay.
He was pretty like...
aggressive.
Yeah.
In the making of this story, I called the real Jay to verify what happened that night. I also asked him if he wanted to write and reenact the whole story with me, but he didn't.
Are you guys still friends?
We started being friends again since I called him and asked him if he would do an interview about, like, the weirdest night of our friendship.
You're going to hear more from the real Jay later. But what I need you to know right now in this moment is that what you're hearing isn't the real thing. I built this scene so that it sounds as close to the way that I remember it as possible.
And then we'll kiss again, and it'll get kind of intense again, and then I'll say it again, and then you get kind of pissed at that moment. You say...
Fine. Fine. I'm just gonna go to bed. I'm tired.
I stare at the overhead light. I look at the clock. Almost 1 a.m. The air is tense. I feel like it's my fault. But I know better than that. I should just go. But I don't. I'm frozen. I can't move.
Come back.
He's back at the zipper of my jeans. He puts my hand on his dick.
Wait. How about, like, okay, this is...
What if you just, like, go to the bathroom and just, like, yank one out and come back?
What? What?
Because then we can just make out and it'll be fine. Right? Just do it.
Come on. Just touch it.
Come on. Come on.
Come on. Come on. Just feel it.
Come on.
Dude.
Come on.
Just feel it.
What?
On the outside, I act like everything's fine, and on the inside, I give up in the way that feels so familiar to me. I make myself come in front of him so he can make himself come, and we can go back to having a nice night. I feel defeated. At the same time, I'm getting off. I'm really good at masturbating, so it's not hard for it to feel good. For a few moments, I forget that I feel like shit. I'm sad when I leave. I don't get angry until days afterwards.
July 5th, 2013. I had the most vile experience with Jay last night.
And then I'm so angry I can barely write about it in my diary.
Ugh, too angry!
It's just a big scribble. I'm angry at so many things. I performed for him.
I performed to placate him.
I wanted him to be happy more than I wanted myself to be happy.
I forgot about myself.
He forgot about me. He was supposed to be my friend.
My defenses were down.
What the fuck? I thought this was a dumb high school dude thing.
A college dude thing.
I thought I was past this shit. I thought I'd practiced avoiding this shit. I'm fucking 27. It's true, he didn't force me to do anything. But I nonetheless felt like I had no choice. Why? Is that on me, or is that on him? I begin to wonder if having sex I don't want is something I've absorbed from generations past, if it's something I've inherited from my foremothers.
How do you say, no, that's rude, or that's not polite, or...
This is my mom.
Why are you saying no? You're hurting the guy's feelings.
Her friend.
With someone who you're interested in, if you say no, are they going to just give up and walk away? And then you're going, okay, should I just go along with it so I don't lose that? He could have been a great guy, but if he's that pushy, is he that great of a guy, right? Like, you balance that out, but I think that is where the challenge lies, is with, what if he then just walks away?
Oh, so true.
Another friend of ours.
I mean, it's subtle because, you know, on the one hand, you're having attention. I mean, I was brought up as a female to want male attention. You know, that was a status symbol, actually. You know, if you were an attractive enough woman that you could get attention from men, that was considered an important thing. That was how you were maybe going to end up finding a husband and having children and doing that really conventional stuff. So those ideas, they don't just like come up all of a sudden. You know, you're surrounded by that your whole upbringing.
And like, when was the first time that you had an experience where you felt like you were allowed to change gears?
I was in my late 40s. And he stopped and asked, are you sure this is what you want? I had never, ever, ever been asked that before. And I was like, shocked. I didn't, like, you know, speechless in responding to him because I never had been asked that before.
By this point in my life, I felt strongly that I was different from my foremothers, that my generation would be different. But I talk to people my age, and I hear the same attitudes, same feelings.
He kept telling me that the reasons I was saying no were stupid.
And I was drunk and crying. You know, a drunk crying girl generally wants to be consoled to some extent, but not with sex.
I told him he couldn't fuck me, and then his dick was in me, you know? And then I was like, oh my God, we're having sex. I thought we talked about this. And even then, the whole night was nice. That part was just sucked.
How
do I give him what he wants in a way that's not terrible for me, but I can, like, deal with? It's like your gut instinct will tell you, like, no, I don't want this, and say no in a cute way, and then say no in a forced way and push. And then there was a point where you just, like, it's like, I literally just gave up. Let's just let him have this now because I fought enough. And, like, I don't want to make a scene. I don't want to wake up anyone. And, like, you know, it's like, oh, my roommate's sleeping and she's going to think I'm being, like, a slut on the couch. And, like, it was, like, these mental gymnastics that you do to not tell yourself that you're not putting your needs first, but that, like, all these people, like, matter so much.
I talked to my 20-year-old cousin. She's almost a decade younger than me.
Like, my first boyfriend, I just wanted to please because I didn't know what I was doing. So I was just going for it and trying stuff and, like, not asking questions. And at the beginning, it's, oh, I want that person to like me. I want this to be fun for that person. And not thinking about yourself and just being like, okay, I'm trying stuff.
It makes me think of something that my best friend Laura said.
I was talking about being a people pleaser and, like, mm-hmm. how, and you said that that's how women
survive. Yeah. I think women survive by, yeah, being aware and reading social cues. And we know when someone's going to be angry. We know when someone might lash out. We know when someone's afraid. We know when somebody's sad. We know when somebody's happy and, we know when we're safe and we know when we're not safe. And sometimes, you know, there's the element of using sex as a social currency to stay safe and using sex as a social currency to belong in the group, even if the group is just you and one other person.
I start to wonder if this is how anyone who's historically been on the shitty side of a power dynamic learns how to move through the world. How important it can be to be liked by someone who has your fate in their hands. Sometime after the J night, I discovered something that brought me answers.
Magic. Wow.
It sounds so different, doesn't yeah. it? It sounds so cool.
Is this what I'm going to sound like?
Isn't that the best?
It was a recording, not a reenactment, an actual recording.
What do you mean? Than
I do. I'd made this recording 2 years before the J night, when I was 25. In this recording, I'm sitting in a windowless bedroom with a guy named Raoul. I'm doing an interview about intuition for the show.
What is it?
Well, a lot of times for me, intuition just means getting your mind out of the way and being observant.
This guy Raoul and I dated for a while. I smiled at him in a coffee shop and he'd ran down the street after me, asking if he could take me out sometime. I was charmed by him. But after a few weeks, he totally ghosted me. At the time of this recording, it's been months since we'd last spoken. And I did that dumb thing where I needed an interview for the show and I was like, oh my God, Raoul! He would be perfect. So, here we are. When the interview ends, I leave the tape rolling because it's just good radio practice. Often, the most intimate parts of the interview happen after it's officially over. So we're just sitting on his bed, and I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that I don't want to have sex with him or anything along those lines. But we're flirting a little bit, and I'm enjoying it.
Why don't you lay down?
I don't know if I feel like it.
I just want to caress you. Like a massage.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm down.
Cool.
I'm down for that. I like massages. But,
I want you to start lying on your back.
On my back? And oh, you can't turn off the lights.
No, I'm not going to. I'm turning this one on.
You can't try to seduce me.
I won't. But I want you to lie back.
Okay.
And then I will.
And you can't touch me in sexy places.
No, I won't.
Do you promise?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you lift this up?
This. All the way off?
Yeah. So breasts are off.
Breasts are off.
Definitely.
What about underbreast?
Underbreast is okay. But you have to be very, like, you know, aware. Use your intuition.
I will.
But even if it seems like I want you to, you have to be nice and good. Okay?
Okay.
A massage to me is as intimate as a handshake. But I know that's not the case for everyone. So I start to try to vocalize my boundaries and make sure that what's going on is cool for everyone here.
Do you feel like you can touch a woman without like having like feeling like you need to fuck her?
I don't know. What do you mean?
Well, I don't know. I mean, like, so for example, right now, the way that you're touching me makes me feel like later I'm going to have to tell you that I don't want to have sex with you. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder, like, if it's possible for, like, is it possible for men to feel, like, to genuinely enjoy, like...
I don't do anything I don't enjoy.
Right. But do you get off on like trying to change someone's mind?
No. Okay. I get off on good stuff.
This is the sound of me and Raul having sex. When I listen to this recording, I hear myself say no again, presumably when he tries to escalate to full-on penetration.
No. Don't. Mm-hmm. No.
To. Yeah, but aren't we just retarded when it comes to what we want? How do we know what we want? What part of you knows what you want? Is it your thinking, analytical mind that knows what you want? No. How could it be? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It's just illogical.
Mm-hmm.
We can only try to guess at what we want.
After the postcoital cigarette, I didn't stay over, which is really unlike me. I walked home through a gray Bushwick warehouse land, angry. At Raoul for ignoring everything I said, at myself for totally folding when he pushed my line, and at my body for betraying me, for enjoying the sex. I cut together the interview part of the recording we did, produced the intuition show, and left this recording silent. In the archives for years. Until one shitty night just like it happened to me on the 4th of July with an old friend, Jay. In the months after the Jay night, I dug up this recording and I listened closely to myself. I listened to the way that I actually sound in a night like this where my boundaries are crossed.
And you can't touch me in sexy places.
When my best friend Laura listened to this, she said it definitely sounded like I wanted to fuck this guy. And if you take away the words and just listen to the sounds. This is probably exactly the way that I sounded when I was with Jay. Saying no in this sweet, seductive tone I'm trying so hard to be nice and not hurt anybody's feelings that my no basically sounds like fuck me. But on the other hand, I wonder how many people sound just like this when they're getting hot and heavy with someone and they're trying to draw a line, express what they want in a way that doesn't break the flirtatious vibe, that doesn't negate the possibility of doing other things. I wonder how many people sound just like this when they're scared. I think this is why the definition of consent has evolved to mean more than no means no or even yes means yes. Consent is about knowing that someone is excited about what's going on. It's about knowing that both people are on the same page. And it's knowing that is really complicated. Not just because communication is hard and sex ed is awful, but also because there are invisible social and historical contexts at play in these intimate moments. Contexts that impact how entitled we feel to our own comfort, how likely we are to put someone else's needs first. These contexts could be historical, like race or class or gender, or they could be super situational, like when one person is a little bit in love with you and you aren't in love with them and you can totally sense that they'll do whatever you want. When things are uneven in this way, it's important to take extra care to create an emotional environment that allows for a no. I didn't feel like I had that space in either of these encounters. But on the other hand, I should have been stronger in advocating for myself. I'm bummed because I thought I was over this shit, but it seems like I'm going to be struggling with this for my entire life. And after all this contemplating, the anger that I have at myself slowly dissipates. And I start getting angry at Jay. I wasn't that angry at Raul because we weren't that close. But Jay and I were close. I expected so much more from him. I expected him to care more about the way I felt, in the same way that I had cared about the way he felt. I knew that the strong thing to do would be to talk all of this out with him. 2 days after the night, he G-chatted me.
Hey, how was working yesterday? I ended up sleeping all day.
And then 2 days later.
Hey, how was the rest of your weekend?
A month later, on my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, darling.
How are you, babe?
2 weeks after that.
Hiya.
5 days later.
Hi.
Same day.
Hi.
Jay, what's up?
Oh, thank God you answered. I was getting worried you were actively ignoring me. How are you?
I stay home every time our friends get together, and I know he'll be there. I try to tell our friends what happened, but when I say it out loud, it does sound like almost nothing. On the surface, we had what Jay would later call a drunken night of masturbation failure. No big deal. The problem is that we don't have a vocabulary around emotion that would let me describe with any sense of legitimacy the totally invisible things that happened between us that night.
That's what you say each time that I hold you this way. When I feel like this and I want to kiss you, baby, don't say no. Play.
when the night grows cold and I want to hold you, baby, don't say don't.
In the next episode, I talk to people who are on the other side of experiences like this. I talk to people who do the pushing.
There wasn't that point of interjection where she like said no before. And like, so I just went for it because I was like stupid and young.
And I gather up the courage to reach out to Jay, the real one.
Yes. So what if, I don't know, why don't you... Do you want to start?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, what were you thinking?
No is a serialized season of The Heart. There are two episodes to go. The season is produced by me, Caitlin Prest, with help from an amazing team of individuals. Ariel Hahn is the assistant producer for this season. Editors Sharon Mashihi and Mitra Kaboli. Phoebe Wang, associate producer. Shani Aviram, who collaborated on the sound design and scoring for this episode. Jen Ng, who goes back and forth with me for hours trying to create the perfect visual representation of each episode. The art for this season is some of her best work. All of the extra ears that helped this piece along. Stephanie Fu, Pike Malinowski, Nick Vanderkolk, Cassie Wagler, Ida Benedetto, Lindsay Kirby, Jennifer Custer-Jaroche, and Lewis Wallace. Tommy Schell acted in this episode as Jay. Special thanks to Raul, that's not his real name, who gave me permission to use the audio of us getting it on in this super complicated and weird way. Special thanks to my mom and the other incredible women who interviewed for this episode. Also, thanks to my Bobby, who never had any trouble saying no, so didn't end up in the final cut of this piece.
Want to hear about my teenage years?
Yes. I just want to say... I know that there's a lot in this episode, and you might be feeling a lot of feelings. And there are probably a lot of things that you wish I said that I didn't say, or wish I addressed that I didn't address. And what I would really encourage you to do is to take all of your feelings and bring them into conversations that you have with other people about this topic, about this gray zone stuff. It's super important to talk about. And the more conversations we have, the farther we'll get. This entire season is made with the support of the IWMF, that's the International Women's Media Fund, and, of course, Radiotopia and PRX. Thanks to the Knight Foundation and AdZerk. Bye.
Radiotopia from PRX.